Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
House Speaker Paul Ryan said today he would not back a move by fellow Republicans to impeach Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, who's been accused by some conservative members of hiding information in the investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 election. Well, meanwhile, the 2018 midterms are around the corner, and our next guest says, put the focus on thwarting further Russian interference. Clinton Watts is a former FBI agent. We spoke with him yesterday about Russian interference. Last year, he testified before the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, telling them that rigging one election isn't the Russians' goal. It's taking down democracy itself. He is now a senior fellow with the Foreign Policy Research Institute in Philadelphia. We invited him back today to tell us how he thinks the U.S. is doing in thwarting interference. Clinton, great to have you back.
Thanks for having me again.
Just last week, Microsoft executive Tom Burt said they recently foiled spear phishing attempts from Russia aimed at three candidates of note running for re-election this fall. What's your sense of what's happening going into the midterms?
From the Russian perspective, they're just going to continue what they've already been doing, which is infiltrating, gaining access in terms of hacking to targeted individuals, creating what they call compromising information on targets, and then later deciding whether they want to influence in one way or another. For the most part, though, it's not going to be covert in 2018. It's going to be overt. You're already seeing Vladimir Putin essentially talking in terms of perspective to a U.S. audience in many ways. His popularity has grown significantly within certain conservative audience segments. I think moving forward, what they're going to look to do is to continue to put pressure on the United States, try and build alliances, but also trying to weaken the United States from within. And they're not so much going to try and hide this. They'll be rather overt about it. And I think you saw Vladimir Putin say that in Helsinki. Yes, I wanted President Trump to win.
Well, but we're also seeing, lawmakers on the right side of the aisle horrified by this. So you spoke before the Senate committee a year ago. You made recommendations. Are you saying that it's useless at this point, that it doesn't matter anymore because it's becoming more overt? Or is it still worth trying to stop the online attacks and the fake news and all the other things that you've described?
There's two parts of it, and one is going better than the other. The first one is what I call election integrity defense, which is, can we make sure that the voter rolls and the voting systems are defensible against hacks, that we have some sort of reliable backup, which I think should be a paper ballot backup, so that American confidence in the institutions and in the process, the democratic process of voting, remains strong. This is one of the key things they pushed at the very end of 2016 going into the election was election-rigged voter fraud. Regardless of who won the election, they wanted to create the perception in the American public that you could not trust the vote. Because if they can wear down Americans about the actual confidence in democracy, that is their ultimate goal, that democracy isn't the best system that's out there. If you look back, the Senate Intel Committee that I testified to, Senators Harris and Lankford actually put a very strong bill together, and you've seen DHS look to make election infrastructure essentially protected infrastructure and working with the states. It's been slow, but at least it's moving forward. And so I feel pretty good about that. The part I don't feel good about is the influence effort. The U.S. government has not mounted a sustained or organized effort to counter influence. And that comes from the very top. That's a leadership decision in the White House, which is how are we going to stop this sort of influence? And instead, you've even seen, whether it's the White House or now in the Senate, some of the senators that came back from Moscow, use the moral equivalency argument that Putin would argue. Everybody does this. It's not that big of a deal. That is essentially what Russia hoped for in the beginning, is that they could use these moral equivalency arguments. But I'm not aware, nor have I witnessed any effort where the U.S. has undertaken widespread hacking campaigns against not only U.S. citizens, but former U.S. officials like Colin Powell, Secretary Clinton, stolen their information and dumped it out on the Internet. And until there's some sort of leadership decision, I think all of the institutions, they're going to be left in a stalemate where they can't really move forward because no one's told them to.
Well, but the U.S. has tried to influence elections of other countries. Are you just saying not to this degree?
Well, I think there's a big difference between putting a Voice of America broadcast together that's pro-democracy. These things are overt. We say that we're doing that. We're trying to promote democracy around the world. I am unaware of this moral equivalency argument that I hear that everyone does it. essentially opens the door for all countries to try and influence our election. Mm-hmm. So if you're EU and NATO and you're hearing U.S. senators say, well, everybody does it, we're not that worried about it, then maybe you would say, well, I want to keep EU and NATO together. Maybe I should influence U.S. elections as well. It can create a very chaotic environment where nobody can trust any information. And in that system, that's where Russia wins. Well, that's the breakdown of information, you know, what is fact versus fiction.
Talk a little more about what you saw, ginning up racial tensions, ginning up distrust of media.
There's four general themes that they will always push in a Russian influence effort. The first one that they tend to go with is social issues, which is identify both sides of a social issue and see if you can divide up the electorate along race, ethnicity, religion, social economic status, and really get them competing against each other. Black Lives Matter is a great example where you saw some of the Facebook pages they set up were, I think it was called Black Matters US. It was essentially trying to bring people in that were supportive of these sort of racial movements and then use those also to send to people that were against it and say, look what these people are doing. And then use those tensions and use that infiltration to push people towards political messages. And those really stacked up as four, and they were very clear, I think, in the outset. The first one was anti-Clinton. The second one was very pro-Trump. The third one, which Russia really created through hacking, was Bernie Sanders got a raw deal from the DNC. And here's the hack material. You can see it. And the fourth one, which was rather minor, was we still have to show up for Jill Stein, with the overall equation being let's turn down Democratic turnout, you know, and support and try and up support for Trump. Mm-hmm. It's sort of blended set of narratives that they put together. And that's why you'll see them actually infiltrate on both sides, the conservative side of the U.S. and the liberal side of the U.S.
Well, you've said that you're comfortable with how states are preparing for the election as far as the actual election process itself. You've also said that one of your concerns is an overt interference. President Trump has invited President Putin to the White House. But what about the cyber attacks? What about stopping that kind of influence? Who owns this? Is it the government? Is it Twitter and Facebook? Who does that?
Right now, no one owns it. It should be some government and some social media. In the government, there needs to be some entity that is designated by the president from the White House that says, hey, we're not going to allow our population to be moved, duped, enlisted in the efforts of a foreign government to essentially move our electorate to their more authoritarian ways. The FBI and DHS, you know, are really focused on the hacking component of it, but their job is not to protect American minds. There needs to be some sort of task force put together that puts out these roles and responsibilities and figures out what we're going to do in terms of making the public aware. On the social media side, they could do a lot to restore the integrity of their systems, and that comes down to fact versus fiction. People don't know what to believe or where it's coming from in social media. You've seen Facebook make a lot of changes, I think, over the last year. You know, more, let's go back to cats and kids, more community, more pictures, those sorts of things.
Well, but Mark Zuckerberg is also coming under attack for refusing to ban outright lies from Americans.
Right.
So that's still an ongoing problem. But is it possible to stop what Russia's doing?
I think so. Awareness is the first ingredient of it. And we did this during the Cold War. The U.S. Information Agency had that mission. People were aware of what they were looking at. Social media makes that even harder because the platforms are designed to quickly get content uploaded from users and have it spread around the world. And the platform is also designed to give people more of what they want. So if you're a fake news peddler, whether you're a nation state or someone trying to make money off ads, you just design content that gets people to click on it, and that's how you get a return on your investment. What the social media companies can do, which I've advocated for, is I call it nutrition labels for information or information consumer reports, which is the way to stop fake news is help consumers make better decisions. So I think every information outlet should essentially receive a rating on two axes, fact versus fiction and opinion versus reporting.
So who does that? The government? This
no,
agency you've just...
definitely not the government. The government shouldn't be involved, you know, with free speech. I think it should be an independent agency.
So it's something like the film industry has an agency that would give it an R rating if it was fake.
Right.
Clinton Watts, do you have faith in the 2018 midterm elections?
Yeah. There's another part of the 2018 election that I think people are sort of skipping over in the media discussion, which is what does Russia want? At this point, they've really achieved just about everything with the exception of sanctions relief. They've gotten their play in Syria. They look strong in Ukraine in terms of what they want to achieve. EU and NATO have declined. Russia sits in a very good position right now for a very small effort at very low cost. So for them to be very aggressive, I think, moving forward would maybe be an even bigger reach that could only, you know, hurt them in the end.
What do you make of the president's recent tweet that Russia is going to be interfering in the midterm elections, but on behalf of the Democrats, because he's been so tough with the Russians that they hate him?
Yeah, I think this is a positioning in 2018 to rechange the narrative around Russia. And I wouldn't be surprised if the president really tries to position this over the coming months as, I'm tough on Russia. Russia wants the Democrats to win. Let's change the narrative around it so that when 2018 comes around, we launch a different investigation where we look at Russia supporting the Democrats. Russia, from their perspective, would only laugh at this because that would only further their cause of breaking up the unions inside the United States, creating chaos and advancing the system.
That's Clinton Watts, former FBI agent, cybersecurity expert. Clinton, fascinating. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
So, truth ratings for social media, a government information alert on Russian influence. Your thoughts welcome. Hereandnow.org.